Hi, Sander. How are you? And cutting to the chase, this is a yes or no, even though it's a topic. Are women in the C-suite ranks moving up?
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of press on this, needless to say. A lot. And actually, very interesting, yesterday, the new Business Week came out, Business Week magazine, and there was a whole page on women-inspired, women-led startups. I mean, these are products I've never heard of, perhaps you have. Cora, organic tampons, Drunk Elephant, skincare products. These are all evolved by women, the women entrepreneurs. Evolve on Nature, skincare lines, Lab Grab, and Silk Therapeutics. Lola, natural pad, tampons, blah, blah. Love Bug, probiotics for moms and kids sold directly to consumers. And Supergoop, non-toxic sunscreen sold online. And that's Sephora, Blue Mercury, and Nordstrom. These are women-led firms. They started it. So it's just interesting, just because it just came out. Anyway, so let's talk about women a little bit and what's going on with them. With the are they moving up in the various C-suites? So women today now hold about 25%, Jill, of the five critical C-suite positions. And that's basically an increase from 23% the year before. This is the Korn Ferry, the biggest recruiting company, and they really focus on women a lot. So this is the analysis of Korn Ferry from the nation's 1,000 largest corporations. And still women hold a majority of only one of these spots, CHRO. Now that stands for Chief Human Resources Officer. And only 6% of CEO spots are held by women, unchanged from basically 2018. So in every industry that they analyze, there's a tremendous need for improvement to bring more women into the C-suite. Well, we know that. The onus really is on women to seek out experiences that can help them lead and organizations to create an environment where women can succeed. Now, being on a board of one big NASDAQ corporation, I can tell you that there is a focus there on women. The new board members that are being recruited are women. So it's really happening across the board. But the Korn Ferry analysis, very interesting, reviewed the positions of CEOs, chief financial officers, chief information officers, chief marketing officers, and chief human resources officers. Among the eight industries, retail has the highest percentage of female CEOs, retail. In contrast, healthcare has the fewest at 1%. Shame on me. Women hold 55% of the chief human resources jobs across the board, across all industries, by the way. And women, chief marketing, chief human resource officers, called CHROs, bring several competencies to the table. Interesting. This is based on their Korn Ferry research, including collaboration, agility, empathy, and an ability to coach and influence that are critical to successfully optimizing the leadership of an organization. And that, I mean, that you have seen, Jill, and I have too. So about 45% now of employees at the nation's largest firms are women. But female representation diminishes considerably up the leadership ladder, which is disappointing. It's hard to pinpoint exactly how gender influences hiring and promotion. Some argue that women choose human resources rather than finance and family over career. Others point out to implicit bias, overt discrimination, and disadvantage structures that drive women away. Many of the women who have become CEOs at large organizations say they haven't even considered vying for the top spot until they had a sponsor to tell them they were well suited for the role. Very interesting research from Korn Ferry. Now, the New York Times, interesting piece, headline, the number of female chief executives is falling. So here is the piece from the Times. The number of women leading the largest companies has always been small. Last year, it got 25% smaller. The reversal is leading to a search beyond the usual explanations of why women don't become CEOs. Things like not being competitive enough, failing to chase opportunities for promotion, and here's the most important thing, based on my experience in corporate life, choosing work-life balance over high-powered jobs. And Jill, as you know, the consultants who work for me are former women in big-time jobs who have kids and now can't work full-time. It's a work-life balance. So they work for me from home. And, you know, we send cars to the home to take them out to the client and cars back. And they work when they can because of the children. So work-life balance has always been number one priority for most women. So here, for many years, it seems as if the share of women at the top of corporate America would slowly increase over time. The number of women in leading companies in the Fortune 500 had grown to 6.4%, a record high from 2.6% a decade earlier. But this year, the number, we're talking about 2018, the Times researched it. In 2018, the number of female chief executives declined 25%, according to the Fortune 2018 list. There are now 24 women, down from 32. 12 left their jobs most recently. You know, Denise Morris and Campbell Soup, who abruptly announced her retirement, and four others joined the list. Four said they're retiring. Four said they left the companies because of the acquisitions. Two took new jobs, and two were replaced after calls for change from investors. So among the hundreds of men on the list, just 47 left, a far smaller share. And when women leave the top job, there are fewer women in the pipeline who might take their place. In each case in which a new interim chief executive was appointed, the woman was replaced by a man. So, you know, there is an issue. And one of the main explanations for women's underrepresentation has been it's too hard to run a big company and be a mom. But it's increasingly clear that this explanation overlooks deeper issues about the way workplaces operate, some experts said. You know, women are much more likely to use workplace policies like parental leave to work part-time, or to move into less demanding positions because of family obligations. Men are just likely to say that they're stressed about juggling their careers and family life, but they deal with it in a different way. They leave early, ask colleagues to cover for them, or take local clients that don't require travel, but tend not to tell anyone they're doing it. You know, they don't appear to be gender differences in leadership ability either. A recent analysis of 2,600 executives found that men and women do not differ on multiple areas that were assessed, including interpersonal, analytical, and managerial skills and general ability. Yet, comparing women and men with similar skills and talents, women are much less likely to become CEOs. So that's kind of the status right now of what's going on. You know, there's a lot to talk about in this thing. You know,
can I ask you a really blunt question, though?
Yeah.
How different, despite the different filter in coverage, and I'm thinking, and I'm thinking of the woman who ran PepsiCo for many years. How different? Right. How different is it really? I mean, what it feels like to me now, understanding, I'm acknowledging that feelings are not facts. That said, what it feels like is, you know, same story, different, slightly different packaging. That's all. So I'm not, you know, it's like, yes, improved percentage. Yes, they're in different cultures, by the way, you know, which you never hear of. There are incredibly powerful female executives, but it doesn't necessarily fit the narrative as it has, it doesn't fit the existing narrative. So,
yes. That's true. That's true. You know, you look around the Fortune 500, which of the female execs have really made it big compared to men? You know, the men you can name off the top of your hand right now. It's very, very different. Men, you know. I made the mistake. The first priority is becoming CEO, you know? The second priority is family. That's men. Women are very different. You know, women are very different. They're from a collaboration point of view, they're much better than men. Interviewing point of view, better than men all the time. But when it comes to the tough stuff, like we have to work this weekend, guys, there's a big acquisition coming. I need the whole team in here this weekend to go over it. Women can't; they're moms. Okay, so that's that is the big difference. It's changing though. I mean, I'm seeing a lot more women now being recruited into board seats. When you talk to the recruiters, you will see diversity is really key. You know, much too many men on a board. One single point of view. No good. Get women on the board and you will hear diversity. So you will see in the next year, we'll see a big change in board seats and CEO opportunities too. Women are learning from being on boards, right? What a CEO has to do and what they should not do. That's what I'm seeing as well.
Thank you very much, Sandra Flom, Leader's Edge.
Thank you.